I don't have a class, but I have.
So, gambling in halacha, it obviously relates to Hanukkah. So the Mishnah in Masechet Sanhedrin, we'll start with that. Elin Ipsulin, it gives a list of people who, they're the type of behavior that they're involved in, the type of activity they're involved in. Disqualified. Yeah, a very famous piece from Rav Soloveitchik, of course, which we're not going to focus on the how do you repent for part, although there is one aspect of it that I'll mention in passing. We'll come back to that in a few minutes. So the Mishnah lists Masechet Bekubia, Malva Beribit, which is rabbinic interest. So an example of that would be if I said to you, I'm going to give you $1,000, you'll pay me back, but on condition that you mow my lawn. So it's not fixed interest, like 5%. It's
basically
it's,
all ribbit.
Right.
It's very, very, very difficult
So Tosfot already points out in this Mishnah that these are all rabbinic, because if we were talking about Doraita issues, then they wouldn't be in the Mishnah. In other words, we have psukim already that talk about charging interest, etc. Mafricha Yonim, the Gemara has a debate about whether it's gambling or it's some form of, I call it pigeon luring, okay, where you basically train pigeons to go to other people's properties and lure the pigeons that have landed there. They don't belong to those people. They just have set up shop in their properties. And I always say, concept is like, you probably grow up as a kid and there's like certain animals that hang out in your backyard. Like the same birds, the same squirrels are just like, those are the ones that are always there. Imagine like one day they're gone. Either, you never know, God forbid something happens to them. But like imagine if like another animal pulled them away to like somebody else's yard. You never had ownership over it. So the Gemara says maybe it's not really such a bad activity. It's not darke shalom. It's not so nice in the neighborhood. But the du pshatim and frichayonim. Socher shvit are people that make business out of other people's shemitah.
Part of translation is pigeon flyers.
Socher shvit are people that make businesses out of other people's hefker, ownerless produce during Shemitah year. These are all individuals who are puzzle for edut. Then the end of the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda has what the Gemara understands to be a qualification of the first line. And he says, ematai meaning, when do we say these people are puzzle? When do we say specifically the Masechet Bekubia? Bizman she'en len umanut elahu. V'yesh len umanut shelohu ksherin. So that's the pshat, that if you have some other form of income, then you're allowed to be a witness. And if you don't, and your only source of income is the gambling, then you're not. The assumption in the Rishonim, Rashi makes this point already in the Mishnah, that the issue here is an issue of trustworthiness. A person who's involved in these kinds of activities is a person who's willing to cut corners to be able to make money, and they're not trustworthy people. So if they're not trustworthy when it comes to money, we're not going to trust them in court. We're not going to trust them to be witnesses. That's the halacha. And then the Gemara wants to understand what's the logic behind the prohibition on gambling. The logic behind the prohibition on gambling is in source 2. This is the Gemara right after Mishnah. The Gemara says, Mishachim kumai ka'avi, what did he do? What's the isser? So it's a machloket amorayim. Rami Bar Chama says it's an issue of asmachta. An asmachta lo kanyas. The way asmachta works, essentially, is I give you my car. But when I give you my car, I don't really want to give you my car. But I'm giving it to you. You can drive it. So in order for you to become an owner over something, on a Torah level, kinyanim. We just go back to the rules of kinyanim. So if I want to give you my laptop, my keys, or my phone, and I say I'm giving this to you, and you pick it up, and you do all the ways that person needs to... all the actions a person needs to do in order to acquire something, you've acquired it, and you become the owner over it. Midrabanan, there's a added point of intention. That if you in your head...
Some would say that's Doraita.
Some would say it's Doraita.
Good,
100%. The Mordechai brings this from Ben and Netano. That might be Midrabanan. This is true. The assumption, probably in our sugya, maybe is a sphere that way, but the point is that the concept of smachta, when it comes to gambling, is as follows. We each put $10 on the table, and when we put that money down, what we're basically saying is, you know, I'm hoping I'm going to win, right? This is Rami Bar Chama, the psychology of the gambler. Psychology of the gambler is the person thinks he's going to win in their head, and when they lose, and the other person takes their money, or when they win, and they take the other person's money, that person didn't fully consent to give up that money. Therefore, even though you took the $10 and you put it in your pocket, so let's just use dice playing. So whoever gets the highest roll wins. So if I get the 6, you get the 5, you get the 4, then I'm taking each of your $10, and I, on a doraita level, just looking at it objectively, I won fair and square, and that money belongs to me. But rabbinically, Rami Bar Chama is bringing this idea out that you have basically stolen the money. I have stolen the money, right? Or you, and you participating in it doesn't make you any better. And therefore, you were in Kona, and that's what makes gambling problematic. Rav Sheshet Amar, second line.
If there was another form or demonstration of that, then that would presumably be...
Beitin. Like doing it through a Beitin, or
we make one up where
People say
where they sign something or whatever it is if they demonstrate that in another way, then that's...
I think it could be mocha. I think people say, like, if you gamble and you say from the get go, this $10 does not belong to me.
Right.
Technically, you don't even have to have the gamble. Like, just take the money and walk away.
I mean,
right. Meaning, if you're saying,
I'm just saying, like, because that's like a clear example of, like, you're going into a space where it's obvious that doesn't...
The context matters.
The argument against that, though, is that the only reason anyone does that, like the asmachta there, is the only reason anyone does that is because they think they're going to win.
They're going to win, right.
And then the asmachta still holds.
Right.
Is that you wouldn't go into a, you don't go into a casino because you're going to lose money. You go into a casino because you're
going
to win money.
Right.
Now you lose money.
You're going to.
Exactly. That's the key. You think you're going to.
So I would say the middle ground
it's
is
all
but
up
you
that.
Think, but you do
the middle ground is you leave your wallet at home, you put $5 in your pocket,
yeah,
and that's all you have. And you decide before you go in, whatever happens, happens. If I lose the $5, who cares? I'm not planning to win or lose. I'm planning to just go and have fun. So maybe that would be the case where it would, we'll see. So Rav Sheshet says, it's not a smachta. The psychology of the gambler is actually the opposite of what Rami Bar Chama says. The psychology of the gambler is, there's a chance I'm going to lose. He's not thinking he's going to win, he's thinking he might lose. So if he might lose, he's already foregone the money. And if he's already foregone the money, what makes gambling problematic? Lefish ein asukin b'yeshuvo shel olam. The issue of not being involved in yeshuvo shel olam. And again, it goes back to the question of trustworthiness, more like the ability to understand and appreciate what it means to earn your own income through your work. And therefore, you value money. You value people's money. So if you're standing as a witness and you value money, you're going to be careful about other people's money. But if you don't value it yourself, because you never worked a day in your life, well, some people would say gambling is a profession, but leaving that argument aside, then we can't trust that kind of person. Now, what's the test case? So my beinayu, ike beinayu degamar umnuta chariti. If you have another profession, so then according to Rav Sheshet, you're osek b'yeshuv shel olam, and you would be allowed, permitted to gamble. We'll see if there are other issues involved, but technically permitted. And Rami Bar Chama wouldn't make a difference. It's always going to be an issue of a smachta. So here we have a test case where Rami Bar Chama is basically always going to be machmir on this, and Rav Sheshet's going to come out, depending on whether you have a job or not, he'll come out lakula.
The scarier corollary is for stockbrokers, not for dreidling.
Right.
In that you could, I think, make a conceivable argument for the stock market being a form of gambling. And certainly, and even if it's not within the strict parameters of gambling or these three, or of Misachik Kubia, you could definitely argue that, I mean, it'd be a very interesting question to see whether or not they're asuk b'yishuvo shel olam. Because I think any argument that you could apply to stockbrokers to say that they're asuk b'yishuvo shel olam, there definitely are, I think you could also make to people who are Misachik Kubia.
Okay.
I would say there are very strong arguments to say that they are osek b'yishuv olam, but I would say that
this might get into part of the question of skilled gambling versus chance, right? Versus things that are more chance.
Right. But then you could say that, like, are we making a difference between poker and roulette then?
So the
like,
Gemara already has when it speaks about Mafrichayonim, about the pitch of flyers, it says that the reason they both seem like forms of gambling. So why did the Mishnah mention both? Why do you need pigeon flyers and dice playing? They both seem so. Gemara says you might say, you could argue that one is more a game of chance and one is more a game of skill in both directions. Because if you're talking about bird flying, either you could say, oh, I have no control. The bird's just on the starting line. They might go, they might not go, they might fly away, they might not go on the line. Or you could say, and Gemara says, like, you're banging on the ground and you're yelling at it. Like, that might think the person is more skilled. And then when it comes to the dice, someone could say, well, I've played dice for 30 years and I'm a professional dice player. I know exactly how to spin it and what angle. And you could say it's more like a skill game. Or you just say, well, it's dice. It's 1 in 6 chance and that's it. Like, so because you could argue it either way, the mission included both. So that might touch on that question.
That makes my issue stronger. If skill and chance are the same, then all the more so.
Right. I mean, the stock market is...
But one's institutionalized. Like, one...
Casinos are also institutionalized. I'm not trying to.
There's less risk in one, for sure.
Right.
Depends how you're. It's, I don't know.
No.
You're shorting a random stock. There's as much chance.
The halfway point will be. I would say would be lotteries, between the two, between, like, you know, what you call gambling, and then so we'll see on lotteries, and maybe that we'll see a tshuva in a minute. So Rashi's on a smachta. We saw that's source 3. Eino noten lo midato. You're basically hoping you're going to win, but you know, savor shu yachol lenatzech pamim shemit, and sometimes you lose. And that's a kein gzela. So it's like some form of gzela, and that's what makes the person okay. So Tosfot in source 4, he brings on Rabbi Yehuda on the Mishnah. He says, "Is afal gav de maskinin de pligi rabbanan alei de Rabbi Yehuda." Halacha ke Rabbi Yehuda, we follow Rabbi Yehuda in the end, that the whole issue is about having a job or not having a job. The pasuk prepares a borer. I'm Rabbi Yehuda, halacha ke Rabbi Yehuda mikan mashma deshar l'sachuk b'kubia. So if you go like that, you go according to that, and this seems to be some of the Rishonim are already going in this direction. This becomes basically the Ashkenaz practice or Ashkenaz psak in the most basic understanding of the psak, that gambling would be permitted as long as you have some other form of umanut. And then there's the Rambam. So the Rambam in two places discusses this, and it's here in 5 and 6. And the Rambam first talks about defining what Mizrachi B'Kubia is. It's not just specifically dice. It includes other forms of gambling with other types of materials. And then he says the following. Establish a condition. Whoever will better a colleague in this sport is entitled to take a certain amount of money from him. This is robbery according to rabbinic decree. Although the person himself consents the other person is taking his money, since he is taking it for nothing, it's part of the frivolous sport, it's considered to be robbery. It's interesting. He doesn't really touch on the idea of a smachta.
The whole phraseology.
Yeah, he doesn't really speak about...
What's the Hebrew term of the shade of robbery? What's that a translation of?
Avak.
Oh, avak.
Yeah, he uses the term avak zela. Yeah, sorry for not bringing the Hebrew here. Yeah. He does use the term avak, and then he brings this issue of playing with non-Jews. So that's the piece that's in Al Tshuva, is on the later part of the Gemara where it talks about how does an individual who has this kind of behavior do tshuva for being involved in this. So it goes through. It's not enough for a person to just break the items. You have to kind of go to an extreme and not even gamble for free. Not even gamble for no money.
Yeah.
So that's where the Soloveitchik has the idea of kapara and tahara. So he speaks about there that idea that it's not enough to just, you know, fix the problem, but you have to go to the root of the issue.
First quarter of the book.
Yeah, so he spends a lot of time on that idea. So that's so it's interesting when it speaks about malve beribi. So what's the tshuva for malve beribi? It's not enough to just say, you know, I'm no longer going to charge interest with conditions. I'm not even going to charge interest from a non-Jew. That's the extreme. That's what the Gemara says. Full tshuva on malve beribi is you wouldn't even charge interest where it's mutter, because all the cases are you can gamble for free. I'm just playing. I'm not playing for any money. So, and, you know, the question you could always say is, at what point are you allowed to go back to the middle ground? Like, well, what is the middle ground after a person?
It's very true to psychology, though, that, like, there's not really a middle ground.
Recovering, well, people who have, like, an addiction, right? So recovering from addiction.
You have to go cold turkey.
Is there ever a way to go back? That's the question. I don't know. Anyway, so then the Rambam brings in Hilchot Eidut, and he goes on the issue here of livelihood, right? Since the person does not involve himself in ordinary business pursuits, it can be assumed his livelihood is dependent on his gambling. So let's look how we pask in this halacha. Okay, the Shulchan Aruch. Mordechai, I mentioned, Mordechai brings up the issue of skill. The Mordechai speaks about if there is a skill involved, then... where is it? He says, "Amana, mesachakim be'amana." It might change the nature of the conversation, right?
Well, he says it's even more of an asmachta because if it's skill, then you're all the more only.
It's even more of an asmachta, 100%. Correct.
Which you might say you might.
I just brought this in as a side note, which is the issue of playing games in general on Shabbos. This is from Rav Malamed Sefer, Pnini Halacha. They have Hebrew and English. They have English translations online. Both are online. I don't think all the Sfarim have been translated, but they did a pretty good job. So that's here in Source 8. So he talks about... this is connected because it's about games of skill. Right? Games that have skill, so that was like one of the reasons why people said chess. Chess was like... you know, this kind of game with skill, logic, made it mutter to play the game. So it's like, on the one hand, it might be an issue of a smachta when you're playing in a gambling context, but on the other hand, it makes it mutter because it's a form of building the mind that would be mutter on Shabbos. It's just interesting, you know, how you see different areas of halacha end up going in different directions.
You can play games, but you can't read the instructions.
Right. So here's the Psak in Shulchan Aruch. Sfardim Ashkenazim. There's a split between Sfardim Ashkenazim. So the Beis Yosef, quoting the Torah, first the bigger font, the beginning, source 9, Yesh Mishu Omer Shemesav Kubiya, Ima Ove Kochavim, Ema Mishum Gazov, Yesh Bo Isser Osek Bedvarim Betelem, Shein Rela Adam, Shein So Koyama Vela Bedivri Chochma, Vishuva Sholom, Chalko Lav Lomar, Shein Opaso Elim Kain, Elim Minu Rachor. Actually didn't bring the beginning of the Shulchan Aruch, where he speaks about being explicitly problematic. And basically just brings the Ramam and brings Rami Barchama. Okay, Shulchan Aruch, so it's interesting. If you talk about who he paskin like, in the Gemara, do we pass on the issues of smacht? Do we pass on the issue is having a job or not having a job? It's actually a machloket between the Sfardim and the Ashkenazim. So the Shulchan Aruch goes down the path of it's always prohibited, it's always problematic. And the Ramah, in the last three lines, Yesh la'umanu racherut, that's the aval, Yesh la'umanu racherut, acheret, afil misachek im Yisrael, ena pasul. You're even allowed to gamble with Jews as long as you have. Rather, so this could probably be the source for all of the charity casinos and charity auctions and raffles and poker games and all the stuff. They have them for like many organizations. The Ramah would probably, I'm just going to imagine the Ramah is probably what they must be relying on.
I like to see the nature of gambling in Ashkenazi and Sephardi worlds. Like, my guess is maybe even because Sephardi were more like accepted, like there's a chance that there was like way more gambling out there that they could participate in, and that's why there was like a
interesting. Could be.
Nichoran a charity auction. Everyone wants to give up their money, though.
Yeah. So that svar would probably apply. Kfar pashat aminik svar achrona lesachek b'kubi. He says that's what people are doing. He says it's interesting, like because the minig was koveya the halacha in this case. Vein pasu al amisha in lo menur alahu. How was that?
No, I'm saying it's okay. It's not like they're doing like they're both actual opinions in the Gemara. So it's not like
Yeah. 100%. Correct. Another interesting halacha that's in this context is a halacha in Hilchos Shabbos. So I invited you for Shabbos. So whoever comes to my house first gets the bigger piece of challah, the bigger. So you turn coming on time for Shabbos meal into a gamble. So Shulchan Aruch, it's based on a Mishnah, Masechta Shabbos. It's against it because it's Gemara says it's very explicit. The Gemara says it encourages.
So you don't want to start with Aliyot and stuff.
Yeah.
Actually, Sephardim are into that. That's weird when you think about it that way.
Into doing.
Like you know the how they like bargain for Aliyot.
Right.
On Shabbat morning.
Right.
Ashkenazim do it too.
They do it.
No, but I'm saying like Sephardim really do it. So
right,
like,
it's a bigger thing.
Yeah, that's a bigger issue for them.
But again, that might go back to this. Oh, no, you're giving it to the shul, and then I just brought some of the Rishonim who talk about this in their tshuvot, and you know they even if you know it's almost like even if we paskin that it's mutter, it's just not the right thing for Jewish people to be involved in. So if you look in the Radbaz speaks about this, and well, he's already from the Sephardic sense, but the Rivash he brings. He brings a feel of Rav Sheish. If you look in Source 12, the Savar Lehatan Deleka Smachta Bekubia Mikol Makom Davar Mechuar Mituav Mishukatsu. So, all those in one sentence,
it's,
right?
It's I mean, the whole thing is fundamentally a chakira between virtue ethics and consequentialism.
Go ahead.
Because seriously, it's pretty clear, I think, that for people who say that it's if you have another job, it's fine. That's a consequentialist argument. It's the only thing we care about is Yeshiva Olam. So if the result of your action is that you're not involved in Yeshiva Olam, then it's not good. But if it has no bearing on that and you're involved in Yeshiva Olam anyway, it's fine. But for virtue ethics, like for the other side, they're you know pretty evidently virtue ethicists who it's not so much about the result of your action, but what type of person it makes you into. And anyone who gambles is someone who, by the fact that they gamble at all, whether it's with nuts and with seeds and whatever, even if it's not money, it's the act of gambling itself alters the person. And such a person can't be involved in...
It's a good word. There are Rishonim who support that concept.
Right. I mean, I think it's pretty obvious.
There are many Rishonim that say that either the issue is that, you know, while you gamble, you lie. Like people who, while in the game of gambling, there's bluffing and there's all this other activity, which is basically... You know, if you're
and it's addicting. Like, that is also, like...
Right. And then there's the other things, you know, like...
a separated part of your life.
You know, like Dr. I think it's Abraham Tursky. He's the big psychologist. He said, if you know someone who's a gambler, like, send them to a therapist. Like, they... Right. You know, that's like the response shouldn't be like, okay, you have the Ramah. You know, the response should be, this is an issue, right? And then there's Rav Avadi Yosef, who talks about lotteries. He's very sharp. I didn't bring the whole tshuva. It's a very long tshuva. I just brought a piece of it. But Yabi Omer in general, they're very long tshuva. And he talks about... Anyway, he's very strict about Sephardim. You can see it there in the first paragraph. Maran HaShulchan Aruch, the Rambam, Smachta Lo Kanya. He goes straight like Rami Bar Chama in the Gemara, and then the Rama Rak La Rama Yesh Makom Latir. He uses the phrase which I think he's used before in other places: Ashkenazim Yotzim Ber Yad Rama, which is a play on the pasuk. And he says they have what to rely on, but at the end, he feels that everybody should stay away from it. He brings the Rivash that I showed you before, and in the last paragraph. He says, even though the Ashkenazim took it on, like the Rama, and you can rely on him, nevertheless, Mikol Makom Ledidan, Shomer Nafsho Yircha Yirachek Mehem, Kemachano Kibano Horaot Maran, that's a Sephardim, and then at the end he comes out, at everyone, he talks about cards. Not Torah cards, obviously. Hockey cards, you know, the kids like to play with. They still play with those cards?
Sure.
Yeah. On Shabbos, there's no technology, so I think you have to go with the paper options. I feel like there's a game that they play, like that they can do a trade like that. But okay, just some last thoughts here when it comes to Hanukkah, to connect it to Inyanei DeYoma. So there's some interesting sources that are out there on this concept about. That gambling on Hanukkah, we would maybe relax some of the rules. Aruch HaShulchan wasn't happy about it. That one for sure. Ooh. Very fire and brimstone. Source 14, we'll read inside. Asochkim beklafim. People play with cards. Onshan rav uvanotenu harabim nitpashtan negat sarat. Hazeh. That's strong. Negat sarat. Bevei Yisrael. Oy lanu shaltabi amenu kach. Yeah, it does not hold back anything in this phrase here. Kama minei averot tliyup azev hu rachum mechaper avon umishu b'yachoto levatla scharo meruba me'od. Anybody who can put an end to it.
It's out of character.
It's obviously a very sensitive, it was very impacted negatively, you know, what he saw was going on at his time, which isn't too long ago. Not too long ago. Shulchan lived in the 20th century. And then the Chavot Yair speaks about this Chanukah thing. So he brings Minha Kadum, the end of the first line there in 15, old Minha Ganahuk Shalol Yisro Kol Hashana Rak Bimei Chanukah. I think it's
his
father, no, he Hachasid. Yeah, maybe. Sheyu Yemei Nes Hakfuim Laodor Alam Yochadim Lischok VeKalut. Ubikesh la'asram. He wanted to prohibit it. Right. She'em ben bitul masal matan shem yadam nishurim batem v'lo tabi adok ilo iskimu l'shanot minag. So he's basically saying he wasn't happy with it, but you know what's going on.
The whole point of dreidel to begin with, like it wasn't about the gambling, like it was about just being a decoy.
Right.
And it's just interesting.
Maybe.
That was, like,
maybe.
Right. That's the right.
That's what they teach you in. When we're young, that's what we learn.
From the
Piskei Tshuva quotes it, and the Klausenberg Rebbe in his Sfarim Shefa Chaim. I couldn't find the volume. I was trying to find the original source of it. He's written so much, so many Sfarim and Mo'adim. I was like searching for a little while. It was taking too long. But this is the quote that I saw. So he has this thing about everybody being in one.
That's a good word.
One whatever, and you're all sharing, and everybody's sharing, and
that's crazy though. It goes against the Gemara.
It's very. And then in the last source, he brings like this: Bachur echad ratzal liton da minag latet kesef leyiladim. The whole minag to give out the gelt to the kids. B'chanukah hu minag hagoyim, shegam hei mechalkim matanot beidem shechal bel tamayim kmo Chanukah. Now, who, chicken before the egg? Like who decided to give out presents on their holiday first? Right? Hine kan yireh shechashash mishuma isur duchoktem lotalechu. Omnam ha'ma'ayin. He says, okay, I hear it. He says, ma'ayin, if you look in the Ma'arik, I believe it was in the...
When is he writing this?
No, this is current.
Yeah, who's the
I don't remember his... I don't remember his his name.
Christmas...
I've heard Rav Meidan rant about that, about how terrible it is that people give presents on Chanukah and it all comes from Christmas.
Like, yeah. So look what he says. Just a perspective. He goes in a little bit of a different direction. He says, from the Ma'arik, and the Ma'arik was the 18th century. Thing, 9th century, I don't remember exactly, but he was before. So he says, "Yir the daik b'lashon chok to hu davar b'li ta'am u b'li to'elet yedua." What is a chok? A chok is something that doesn't have a reason and doesn't have a known purpose. Aval davar sheish lo ta'am v'to'elet ein bo mishum b'chokotem. But if it does, then it's not an issue b'chokotem. And the Rama brings this in Yoredeh. In general, the concept of b'chokotem, exactly. Im kein, ma shenotnim demei Chanukah leyiladim, harei tol ton niker kedi lesameach et ha-peutot. It's like a Simchas Yom Tov concept. Make them happy on the Yom Tov. V'chein katav Rambam, and he brings that. He brings the Rambam on, you know, you have to give kids presents to make them feel Simchat Yom Tov. Right? Simchas Yom. I mean, is there a chiyuv? Yom Tov. Yeah, there's also. Yeah. So he quotes Ketzer Ktanim Notam Klai Ove Gozim. Today, you can't give kids walnuts. Whatever, they're not going to be too excited about that. Migdanot. Vuvav Shulchan Aruch. Vagam Bechanukah Hem Yimei Simcha V'Halo Kamo Shekat Ram. I don't know how lahalacha is this. Lachin Shapir Noagim Lachalek Lam Kesev Matanot. Kemen Al Kopanim Yeshkan Yimei Simcha V'Kach Masamchin Ektanim. Kemen Yesh Tam Hagun Ein Lano Lachush Kama Shaguyim Osim B'Dome Elazah. Maybe they copied us. I don't know. You know where it comes from? You look it up?
No, I'm looking up this guy. Rabbi Yisrael Pesach, the wine handler.
Yeah.
From Chicago.
Is he current?
He died in 2011.
2011. I kind of knew it was recent. Yeah.
He was friends with Rav Nathan Tzvi Finkel, or he weren't by Rav Nathan Tzvi Finkel. They were close. Yeah. Amir and Rav Osner. It's very legit.
Yeah.